up, Shadow Spawn? Okay. Dudes, dudettes of the Wheel of Time.
At first, I swear to God, he started John Lennon, and I was so much happier with that.
Joining us today, we're going to be shredding on some Wheel of Time knowledge, been grinding it up in your brain skulls and stuff, bruh. So thanks for tuning in. We hope you get a little bit of madness up in you, and hope you're having a totally bodacious day, bruh.
I've never wanted to break surfboards more in my life.
Also, I just want to say,
it's not because of you.
Also, I just want to say that today we're going to be talking a little bit about Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions. Let's drop some Wheel of Timeage on our faithful compatriots.
Indeed. All right, so before we go any further, first let us introduce ourselves. I am the gnarly Amon Khan Mihail, Daniel.
I'm having none of this shit. But I'm Andrew, your Bajan Mihail.
Oh, shit.
I'm Josh Yasora Mihail. The battle leader Mihail, who would not have time for anything.
And you know us. We are the Black Tower Podcast. We are a Wheel of Time podcast. We love you, and we love that you've lined up so professionally, kindly, and gently to receive your weekly dose of madness.
And we love that you love us, even if you're not ready to admit it publicly yet. That's fine.
Get ready.
But we know.
Get ready to put some taint in you as we sit back for the next 70 to 90 minutes and talk about the Wheel of Time.
Yeah. So as we're recording this, our audio only episode from Jordan Con with the Glee Men podcast, that's Vance and Matt, that we record it with at Jordan Con. You'll hear all the background noise in there for most of it. There's some areas where I had to make cuts and Vance's mic didn't pick up as much of the background noise because he knows what he's doing. And but that's out audio only. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us there. Just look up Black Tower Podcast. It's not a numbered episode. It is a bonus JordanCon episode. And there's another bonus JordanCon episode, about 30-ish minutes, as it were, that'll be coming out exclusively on YouTube. So keep your eyes open for that if it's not already out by the time you listen to this, because most people won't hear this for another week and a half from when we're recording. So, well, a week at least. So, but those are out there. Go and check those out. And we're working on getting more of our pictures and stuff up. We're going to try to create a space for that on the website so that we can start putting all of the stuff from the Jordan Cons we go to. Because I think it is safe to say and announce now, all three of us have purchased our memberships for Jordan Con 2022.
Correct. In fact, one of us just did it today.
Yeah.
Today.
To be fair, I just did it yesterday, so.
Yeah, same.
So I'm bringing in the rear. I'm the rear guard. That's fine. So if you guys
all know that you bring it in the rear, Josh.
But there's something that's even more exciting and even more awesomer than JordanCon, and that is, of course, the Gathering Madness, which is happening in October. The
Gathering Madness.
Yes.
So don't miss that.
Don't do it.
Yeah, we've pretty much got the schedule nailed down. It's going to be an online-focused event. However, people that want to come in person and hang out are definitely welcome to.
And encouraged.
We will definitely be doing a couple of events out and about, whether they be at bars, whether they be at event kind of places, where you will be not only, as Josh said, not only welcome, but please come on down if you have the inkling to do so. We'll get you into the group to go ahead and do whatever activity that we're doing. And we'd love to go ahead and see you there in person. It is absolutely encouraged. We want you there if you can be. If not, again, this year is shaping up to be not quite as weird as last year, but still a little fucking weird. So we totally understand.
But you can be here virtually with us on Zoom. We're going to do some stuff on YouTube. Yes. Patreons, there's going to be some exclusive Patreon stuff built into the schedule. Where you guys definitely get at least some part of bang for your buck.
Roof.
But it's built in, and other people can join in on it, but they have to at least do what you have done and support us with $1 for the month. So that's going to keep, kind of like, hey, this is something that you guys get specially because you're so kind to support us and we'll really appreciate it.
We do.
But that'll be happening. Right now, according to schedule, times may change slightly, probably not too much. We're going to start at 5. All of this is an Eastern time. We're going to start at 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday with a welcome. And then we're going to be ending at 11 p.m. on Saturday. That's not to say that we will be on the calls or doing something 24 hours. That's just the time
Correct.
span of the event. So,
Yes.
Yeah, we do need to sleep sometime.
What?
So
Neither of you.
we're gonna do an Ask an Asha-mon thing pretty early on. Of course, we got to do the Taste of Taint challenge, and we'll be
That's a
challenging some other persons to that. At least when we're done, if they don't happen to just pop in and join us, we never know. We don't know what's gonna happen fully yet.
That's
We're gonna go
true.
out and do some physical stuff in the local area, and there'll be an open episode recording that we'll do on Saturday. And of course, we're bringing back and doing again the mixology contest and the drunk splaining. So pay attention to our Twitter and our Discord because here very soon we'll start putting some of that stuff out. And as soon as the, I guess you want to call them advertisement flyers, the one with general information and the one with the schedule, as soon as those are made, those will be put out as well. And whenever those go out, then we'll open up the RSVP kind of stuff. So that you can go ahead and say you want to be there, and that's going to be how you get the Zoom link. We'll probably throw it in the Discord too, but it's always nice for people to RSVP. And as we have it planned, you're going to see some other people with us. I would love to tell you who those people are, but one, it ruins the surprise, and two, we haven't decided yet
There we
because we
go.
still have to ask.
I was wondering if you were going to be honest.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. So that
We
kind of
do
stuff is
try to tell
coming.
you the truth here at the Black Tower.
We haven't decided yet.
That would be
And
a very Aes Sedai thing to just say, of just leave out the part that's also true, but like tell you the
So for those of you that are looking at potentially attending
And
in
also,
person,
yes, all you Aes Sedai out there, that was called shade. That's what we do
that's
here at the Black
what you're
Tower.
supposed to find whenever
We
you hear
give water
Asha.
and we also give shade, because we were taught by the best.
So, for those of you that are looking at potentially attending in person and looking at travel and that kind of stuff, the event is going to be this time where I live. It's going to be in Havelock, North Carolina, Havelock, just like it sounds. It is a small town that calls itself a city for some friggin' reason, right next to Cherry Point Marine Corps Air Station here in North Carolina. Closest airports, you have OAJ, the Albert J. Ellis Airport, about 1 hour and 15 minutes away in on the other side of Jacksonville, North Carolina. The closest airport is ENW. It's I forgot what it stands for. Or what
EWN.
EWN. Oh yeah, EWN, sorry. It's EWN is the airport to look up.
Eun.
That one lands in New Bern,
Eun.
North Carolina, and is about 15 minutes away from where the bulk of this will be happening. Because yes, it'll be in my modest apartment. So I get swarmed with people and it's standing room only and I can't walk around in my own apartment, then I'm perfectly fine with that. It's cool.
Right?
Like
Let's
it'll
do
just
it.
be fun.
Let's
We'll
fuck
annoy all the
Andrew's
neighbors.
apartment up.
No, don't fuck the apartment up.
He doesn't
With
need a
people.
security deposit back.
No, with people, not damage, with
No,
just
yeah, no.
humans,
Yeah,
with human
totally.
beings. Yeah, not
But yeah,
damage.
so once the adverts and already we'll put that out, it'll put we'll have the location and everything there. And some of you patrons that have received stickers last month already know the address.
Hey, because there's a
So
return address.
yeah,
Nice.
because
Hey,
that is
hey.
a
I don't
standard
put
that I
my
have to do to
return address
submit.
on that shit.
Hey, hi, hi.
So I don't know what I just got sent.
I trust all you motherfuckers, but I don't really want you to know
I'm not worried about you
where
knowing necessarily where I
I
live. My door is locked for your safety, not mine.
That's right. That's right.
Fucking yee-yee,
I knew it. I knew that was gonna. I was waiting for that, right?
bitch. That is not what I was insinuating.
Yeah,
There's many different things that you might need to be protected from, like me walking around naked in the house.
Oh, I was gonna say, are we gonna protect the people now? Is that what we're doing?
We
I
are
mean, oh
Ashima.
yeah,
That's
I'm
what we do.
protecting you from seeing me walk around naked or in like
Oh, I was
underwears
gonna
or something.
say, are we protecting the
Oh yeah, that
people?
was a good segue actually.
Is
So,
this a good time to protect
before
the
we do that,
people?
because we didn't do it last episode and we kind of should have, but it's perfectly fine to do it now too because it is after the first of the month. We have two new patrons to shout out and thank and welcome amongst the rank of our lovely family members that support us all and egg us on to keep doing what we're doing. We now have Wolf Brother Seven as another family member. Thank you so much
Wow.
for joining the Black Tower and supporting
Thank
us.
you, sir. Thank you.
Yep. And next, of course, but certainly, well, next, last, but certainly not least, welcome to the rank of Soldier. And we're so super happy to have you here. This is Matt's Dagger. If you don't recognize the name, you don't watch anything Wheel of Time.
Yeah,
that's right.
get the fuck
And I don't
Matt's
mean like
dagger is
Matt's
like,
Dagger
get the
from
fuck
Reach.
out of here.
So.
Everywhere. And we are honored to have you, Mr. Dagger. Or Miss Dagger? I don't want to assume. We're
Yeah,
honored to
don't
have you
assume.
here, honorific Dagger.
There we go.
I
There we
mean,
go.
they have a
You
rank,
honor
Soldier
us,
Dagger, so.
honorific Dagger.
Glorified Dagger. We can do this. I'm good. I
Glory
can work.
Hole Dagger?
Glory hole Dagger. That's a
Such
whole different kind
Christ.
of
That's a very
dagger,
different thing.
Daniel. That's a
I take
very
it back.
different dagger.
Nope, I'm done.
It's hard to sharpen the fleshy dagger. Anyway,
Is it? I
I
actually find
mean,
it's fairly easy to sharpen the fleshy dagger.
oh,
I feel bad for your partners.
Just give
That's gotta
me
hurt.
Your poor wife.
any picture of a good waifu, and I'm already pretty sharp.
Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you for
We're
joining
so
the
happy to have
Patreon.
you.
As of right
Yes,
now,
thank you very
we
much.
are one more patron away from standardizing the months that everything is sent out. One more patron, and we will standardize. Stickers will always be sent out on, every other month, regardless of when you join. Anything else that
Merchandise
is
will be
month
sent
time
out.
based,
Yeah.
we'll nail down a schedule for that, and we'll post it out and let everybody know.
Hey,
Also,
big
it'll
things
be.
are happening at the Black Tower, guys. Big things.
Also, if you have not already heard, we are about 21, maybe 20 followers away from 3,000 followers on Twitter. Oh, boy. Why do you guys do this to us?
No, I thought you were saying us. Oh, we're gonna leave that to a mystery to the people that if I don't edit this out, that don't know what we're laughing about.
I'm just
That's why you should
saying,
be a
are you?
Patreon.
I'm
You should.
actually just saying, I don't want to throw too much shade, Matt Stagger, especially because you just joined us as a patron. But are you actually sure you're coming with the dawn? Because
Or before
I've heard
the
that a lot of people end up coming before the dawn, and it's a real problem here in the States. Jesus
Sometimes the
Christ.
dawn is nice and says that you did.
Yeah, no, definitely
But
says that you came with the
hey,
dawn.
don't be
That
ashamed. In
the
the
dawn
words of Ricky,
also came,
in the
but
words of
let's
Ricky
be
Bobby, if you
honest.
ain't first, you're last. I don't want to be last. Sorry for the quick interruption, but just wanted to take a second to make sure you knew about blacktowerpod.com. It is our very own website with very handy links for you to access all of your favorite Black Tower podcast stuff. Whoa, a break-in during a break-in for a plug? Yes, Patreon. It's a fantastic place for you to support your favorite content creators. For as little as $1 a month, you can throw some support our way and help us continue what we're doing here at the Black Tower podcast. That dollar a month will get you into our live recordings. We will also shout you out during an episode, and you get access to record a spoiler warning for our episodes that we will use. There are some other perks like our Sword and Dragon Challenge coins that you can only get by being a Patreon member. And there are perks as far as getting some different random merchandise from us and things like that. Go on over to our Patreon and check it out. And we thank you again. Now, what was the other plug I was doing? Do you want to post in the forums on the website? There's a button for that. Do you want to join our Discord and talk to us there? There's a button for that where you can just click and join the Discord right there. One click and done. Do you want to check out our merch? There are buttons for those. If you want to see what we've been doing recently, there's a section called Dragonsworn On Demand, a calendar for the Black Tower. We thank you so much for checking it out. And now let's get into the episode.
Okay, I'm not saying that, like, okay. I'm not kink-shaming at all, but let's be honest, that is the only two options, isn't
time.
It? Either you come first or you come last, for most people.
Typically, but that assumes only one round.
You don't come first, you don't come at all? Like,
no, depending? Sometimes women can come first and last.
It's true.
That is accurate.
Almost anybody can. They given can. The appropriate yes. time frame. Anyway... Let's anyway,
Wheel of Time. Guys, hey, did you guys know we're talking about the Wheel of Time on this podcast?
And before we start talking about it.
Did you guys know that you've spoken for about 4 minutes on Wheel of Time, and then the rest has just been shaded?
Thanks, Joe. Shout out to Joe from the Twatcast for keeping us on subject, keeping us on topic.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbygen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbygen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbygen.com. So before we get into the actual discussion, everybody needs protection. And this one comes from, it's a new spoiler warning from our good friend, Sexy Morshadi. And here you go.
Welcome to the Black Tower, a Wheel of Time podcast. All right, let's check this one. This podcast will likely be spoiling books 1 through. Oh, what's this? An envelope addressed to me. No name, though. Let's see what's inside. Oh my. This podcast will likely spoil all the books in the series, and apparently being a Patreon will expose you to information that should be left unseen. Protect yourself by pulling that spoiler condom all the way on. And I need a drink. That's way more of Andrew than I have ever wanted to see. Which drink is down there?
I love it. Morshadi, you are... If no one has told you recently that you are A, fun people, and B, that your spoiler warnings are short, sweet, and to the fun point.
Fact checker Mahal strikes again.
It was opportune timing to consider that we just talked about that I sent the stickers right? from.
Yeah, good times. Oh, so now you have your spoiler warning. Now you have your spoiler warning. Now you know
all the way on. You want all 15 all the way. Or all 14 and a half inches? Because let's be honest, New Spring isn't really a full book. It's a novella.
It's a novella. Novella.
No, actually, I take that back. It's 15 inches because the last battle itself is actually a whole like
an inch and a half.
A memory of light is an inch and a half because the battle, the last battle is at least half an inch. So
that means the total thing is 16 inches. The math doesn't add up.
Math is hard. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about things from all of the books. That's what's important.
It's 15 inches.
Yeah, so if
I did my math right,
if
one books 1 through 14 plus 14 is half an inch more plus then New Spring is half an inch.
Oh, I thought you said that it was an inch and the last battle was an inch and a half. My bad.
No. The last battle is half an inch. The rest of book 14 is also an inch. So it's an inch and a half as far as a memory of light is concerned.
Oh, the book overall. Yeah. I got it.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
I'm not good with numbers. We're all
good. No, you're good. You are actually good with numbers. It's just that we had a miscommunication.
Anyway, we're talking about things, not inches.
All right, so today we are going to talk about Wheel of Time, and we are actually going to do somewhat of a fun sort of topic that I think we have covered a little bit before in the podcast. So if you've heard earlier episodes of this, Andrew, and I believe either Aaron or possibly Thorne and Greg might have talked about this a little bit before, but we're going to broaden it out. We're going to talk about myth and mythology and how it deals and how it pertains to the Wheel of Time. So we're definitely talking about sort of the inspirations behind some of the biggest characters. We've definitely talked about this a lot in previous episodes on specific characters, because especially with the Wattdot fandom, they often place near the end of the entries on each character their inspirations. So you have different things like, you know, Ardor Hawkwing being inspired by Artur Pendrag. You also have, you know, characters like Tom Marilyn being inspired by the Wizard Merlin, things like that. But we wanted to broaden that out to sort of all of the myth and mythology inspiration behind the Wheel of Time, whether that be Arthurian, whether that be Greek mythology, whether that be Norse mythology, whether that be Egyptian mythology, whether that be, you know, any pantheon that we see being pulled into the mythos of Wheel of Time. Mm. So for example, again, I think in the last episode that was done where we talked a little bit about this, we talked a lot about Perrin. Perrin is a great example of someone being not a direct grab, certainly, from mythology, but he has a lot of Norse mythology in his inspiration. There is the Hammer Mahalanir, which is very much a reference to Thor's hammer Mjolnir. And in fact, Perrin himself is in a lot of ways supposed to be inspired by Thor. And his journey, as well as in some ways almost a paying homage to Fenrir as well, given his wolf brother status, the fact that he runs with the wolves, the fact that in some ways during the entire story, who's Perrin's biggest enemy? Oh, himself. and things like that. So we're going to go through, you know, a number of other examples along those lines, talk a little bit about where we think, you know, different inspirations came from or where we see certain inspirations for different characters
and or story arcs about,
in the Wheel of Time.
Yeah, we talked about Matt's resemblance to Odin in that episode, because I think it was just an overall, like, talking about the influence of Norse mythology in the Wheel of Time. Sure. So obviously you have Matt with the ravens and the sacrificial eye. Odin sacrificed an eye to gain an abundance of wisdom. So, and I mean, got Moraine back, so technically he sacrificed his eye to gain an abundance of wisdom as well.
An abundance of bow chick bow wow for his friend Tom.
Oh yeah, it's like the best wingman ever. I gave up my eye so that you can get married and late. Dude. Now play me your guitar.
Now play your fucking guitar.
Yeah, and we also
I likened... heard there was a secret chord that Tom played and it pleased Matt.
The Lord Matt.
And please, Lord, I'm not no bloody fucking Lord.
Yeah, and I think we also reference Matt's, or we talked about Matt's mischievous kind of trickster kind of nature being a bit of an homage to the popularized version of Loki kind of deal. So there's a ton of that.
There is.
So Norse mythology plays a really big part in influencing the Wheel of Time. So does Arthurian legend. And yes. There are a ton of other mythos that definitely have significant influences in the Wheel of Time. Like someone in live chat just pointed out, there's also the semblance to the Slavic god Perun, within Perun. So
there's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and when we've done each one of these characters, if they've got their own episode, we've talked at least in general about some of the parallels that they have to other mythological figures or even real figures.
But
now we're kind of doing it in general.
Yeah. The more you start to broaden your
lens
study, I guess, for lack of a better word,
and?
Of a lot of ancient mythologies and ancient Anus? Traditions. Anus.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
You start to find commonalities.
That's what she said.
There's a dude with a hammer who smites evil. There's a dude with a hammer who blah, blah, blah. There's a dude with a hammer. There's a dude with a hammer. There's a dude with a hammer. So the cool thing is when Robert Jordan was writing these books, he was like, oh yeah, we're gonna borrow from a lot of the old traditions, a lot of the old myth, a lot of the old, you know, things like that. And we're gonna inlay that into the story. But he does it in a really great way to kind of, a wink and a nod to say, yes, all the old traditions are spun again and again and again. And it's really beautifully done. And that's why you can't throw a rock in this story without running into some type of mythology or something that ties back into our real world. And I think that's one of the reasons we love about it so much is because it's relatable. It's so familiar. It's such a foreign place, but it's still so familiar to us that we don't want to leave.
And again, I love one of the things that Robert Jordan really did with this story. Again, that we've talked about on the show 1,001 times, but we'll talk again about again later because time is fucking cyclical. What is actually myth? What is actually legend? What actually happened? Are legends based on these characters that are now, you know, ages gone and that people still talk about, you know, Thor and Odin as Matt and Perrin? Or are Thor and Odin and Matt and Perrin all based on the same story that happened ages ago that we don't even remember? It is Tyr, just Rand, who, you know, was gone ahead and talked about and the story changed and the story morphed and did all of this different stuff. Is Tyr, you know, as renowned as he is because he's actually the Dragon Reborn? Or is the Dragon Reborn actually just, you know, this and that and the other thing? And that's one of the things that I, and I know that all three of us here just love so much about the story is where did it start? The answer is nobody even fucking knows where it started. And that's the point. You are jumping into the story at a point where everything's already begun. Trying to unravel where everything started is impossible. Are we the age before the age of legends? Are we 700 ages down the line that, you know, we want to think that we're the age before the age of legends, but there's actually been 87 breakings of the world between the events of the Wheel of Time our time now. Like, who knows? But everything old is new again. Every time, always, every time.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly. So yeah. Anyway,
I mean, so like one of the ones other than Norse mythology, because I'm slightly steering away, but not avoiding Norse mythology, because we have done an episode of that.
Yeah.
If I had to choose mythology after that, that I really enjoy, and I skip one or two down, it would be Arthurian legends. Well, everybody knows, if you didn't grow up watching like Disney movies and watching The Sword in the Stone and things like that, that tell the tale, a really romanticized and fantastical story of King Arthur, then I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, in between The Sword in the Stone, He-Man, what's the other one I'm thinking of? Even Monty Python and The Search for the Holy Grail. All these things are influenced by Arthurian legend. And Arthurian legend, especially for English-speaking countries, is one of the big influences throughout history. And you can call, there's so many parallels, and multiple Arthurian legend figures have influences on multiple different characters. So like Avienda and Egwene, with respect to Rand, are both Lady Guinevere-esque characters to him in some respects. Yes. Then you've got Avienda has a parallel to the Lady of the Lake whenever she gives Rand Lyman's sword. Things like that. You have Demondred, who would be like a warped or dark
watery
version
tots of King swords at random passerby is no form of government.
Yeah. So if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, much in the same way with Super, we got to see Goku and Goku Black. With the Wheel of Time, you kind of get Ran as a kind of King Arthur-esque figure, and then Demondred as like, well, what if King Arthur was evil? So you've
a
got
Mordred. Or a Mordred, yeah.
So you've kind of got this King Arthur that's like a righteous paladin of vengeance, and then you've got Demondred who's like an oathbreaker.
Does that make Morgan Le Fay a Lanfear?
I could see it.
I like it. Yeah.
She's not Queen Mab. I wouldn't say she was Queen Mab. Oh, she's no. Definitely kind of a Morgan Le Fay type character.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, now you're just talking about the Dresden Files. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Queen Mab, Morgan Le Fay. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's almost like
with
a lot of
legend
stories
would imply some kind of kinship between her and Elaine.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny because Elaine is not the one that she comes after for fucking her boo thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably would, though. Like, she's that jealous of like, you grew up with the Dragon Reborn? Let me skin someone alive to just be angry at you.
Who is Avienda?
Who is it? Though, actually, at the docks, who does she go after? She actually goes after Egwene first. Because she assumes that she's Avienda. Because the two people at the docks are Egwene and Avienda.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so there could actually be some kind of parallel there. I like that.
I like, so one of the more obvious ones, one of the most more obvious nods to Arthurian legend, obviously, is Kalendor. But I like it for two reasons.
Kalander?
There is a prophecy surrounding it. Stating that whoever draws the sword will be the savior, right? Arthur first pulled it from the stone. It was first pulled from the lake and then put in the stone. Now, and this is where there's some deviation, because obviously in the books, Rand pulls Kalendor out of the air. It's suspended in the air. And he pulls Kalendor from the air and then drives it into the stone and then says, okay, whoever comes after me will be loyal to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the prophecy says that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. He announced that.
He knows, but yeah.
He announced that because he read it in the prophecy and knew that whoever
he was.
I think he told it to people. I don't think he like necessarily made a proclamation of it.
No,
he was asked, like, why did you leave it there? I think he told one or two people, exactly. The prophecy says that someone has to come after me, get it, and whoever it is.
Well, he told Moraine that. I specifically remember her being like, what the fuck are you doing? We just went through so much. We get you. I used a forbidden weave to kill the motherfucker who was like all up in your grill before you grabbed that. And now you're just going to leave it in tear. Fuck you. Like,
I guess I'll just go fuck myself. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of.
I guess
of
I'll more... just go fuck Tom then. Wait, yeah. Hang on.
There's a ton of like more obvious kind of kinships, Arthurian legend. Elaine is one of the big ones. Specifically, absolutely. She mirrors more closely the Elaine that is the daughter of Pelis. That would also be the mother of Galad, whose father is Lancelot, and Elaine, the daughter of Igraine and Gorlios. I don't know, but basically sister to Morgan the Fae and Morgase of Orkney.
Yep.
And thus half-sister to Arthur, which is on very much on brand. So, Galad, of course, would be a kinship back to Sir Galahad the Pure, the good knight.
Yep.
I mean, I think we can all see that. I don't know if we necessarily all agree with the good, but definitely the pure. His intentions and motives are always steadfast and pure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would actually agree in some ways that Galad actually really is a good character. The problem is the world isn't always good. I think that Galad would be a perfect character if the world was all good. The problem is the inability to see and adapt to gray. That's the problem.
And
of course, he even sheds that later on in the books, which actually makes him a more pure, more good character. But his issue from the beginning isn't that he's good. It's that he's good to a fault. Yes. Because good isn't always what the world needs.
He also has, as we talked about when we were at JordanCon, we always talked about he has untested righteousness. It is a very immature, and not in a negative capacity. I just mean in a way that
it hasn't faced
a lot.
Yeah, that he's living in a bubble.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a bubble thing going on, and you're right. He gets that progression. He gets forced. To look at a situation and go, there's no black or white. There are shades of gray. And I think Robert Jordan does a really great job with the character, not necessarily saying I like the character.
Yeah.
But the character itself is very necessary to the story because it helps check us. Because when we say, dude, that guy is a bad guy, he's a bad guy. And then Galad comes along and goes, he's right.
Yeah.
No, we hate him. No.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
And so he provides a really good sort of balance until later on in the story when he can no longer do that. Things are so mucked that he can no longer do that. And so as a reader, I almost identify with Galad.
Oh yeah.
And going, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And then by the time I realize what I'm doing, it's too late.
Well, and the other thing that's also very true is that, again, Robert Jordan does such a good job of the unreliable narrator of this person is telling me what's good and what's bad. And Galad almost like you don't really get perspective from Galad very often. I think that there's like two, maybe three POVs from Galad, and they are way late in the series. But I definitely feel like Galad has some of the most like objective, this is good, this is bad kind of things going on. Whereas a lot of other people have it very much through their own personal lens of, no, this is bad for me. And we as the audience sitting there being like, yes, but we know that you are good. Therefore, something being bad for you must be bad. Not necessarily. Just because it's bad for you doesn't actually mean it's bad. It just means that we're rooting for you. And therefore, something bad for you is bad for the story.
Yes.
kind of thing. And Galad, as I said, is very objective in his, no, it doesn't matter whether this is bad for me or bad for, you know, whatever, this is evil. It doesn't matter whether this is good for me or good for someone else. This is good.
Yeah.
Yes, nice is different than good. Yes. I'm not good. I'm not bad. You're not good. You're not bad. You're just nice. I'm not good. I'm not nice. I'm just right. And it's good. I think that Galad is actually a very well-crafted character.
Yes.
In terms of the fact that good and evil is so black and white to him. And yes. I don't agree with his decisions because I recognize the world as gray. But I think that he's not shitty. I think that he's just bad for the times, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and you can see the parallels too, talking about like Egwene and Gawain, yes. The parallels for Egwene and Gawain with Ragnell, Sir Gawain's loathly lady. So their marriage is pretty on point for the Arthurian legend. It's a very unconventional yep. marriage. I believe Sir Gawain just had this lofty kind of unyielding just absolute loyalty to Ragnell. Mm-hmm. And we see the same here. But things like the Norse mythology references and Arthurian mythology references, these are things that like we talk about fairly consistently as a yes. fandom. Yep. So I want to steer us in looking at some yeah. of the other references. I like using Egwene for this as an example because she has such an overarching and longstanding role in the series. And there's so much to pull from. So we can see
she changes so much yeah. from beginning to end. So
she has parallels to Ceres, the ancient Roman earth and agriculture goddess. She has, sticking with Roman goddesses, she also has parallels to Vesta, the goddess of, yeah. Of hearth and family. Do we want to talk about the Roman stuff, or do we want to just kind of go through other legend stuff?
Let's focus on the Roman a little bit for a second. At least for a moment.
Yeah. So let's pick one and see which one do you think you would rather hear more about if you don't already know about it? The parallel to Ceres, the goddess of earth and agriculture, or the parallels to Vesta, the goddess of hearth and family?
Let's do Vesta. She's a more interesting goddess to me.
Yeah. So Vesta, so in the Palatine Hill, there was the sacred fire of the Roman state and was kept burning by the priestess there. And the flame was a
physical... You mean the flame of Tarvalon?
Yeah. And the flame represented flame Vesta Avalon? Herself.
Yeah. What?
The goddess was portrayed as a stern woman wearing long dresses with her head covered and a scepter in her hand.
Hey.
I don't think it was a red rod.
Yeah, but
it might have been a different rod.
Let's be honest. You can put a scepter anywhere you want.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to say it was a red rod.
Okay. Yeah, a red rod scepter.
And she also had a ton of seniority. She had precedence over... precedence and veneration offerings over all other Roman gods. So, like, this was the head bitch in charge. Nice. This is the one you came to and were like, you're in charge. Yes, ma'am.
That was the bottom bitch.
You knew what she said. Huh?
That was the bottom bitch.
Yeah.
Or was she the top bitch?
No. You clearly don't understand the reference if you're questioning that reference.
I
don't. All right, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Apparently you have not.
So you can explain to me what a top bitch is. Apparently you have not
done enough pimping.
Yeah, she was the symbol of sovereign power in Rome. The priestess of Vesta attended and blessed the most important government functions and had a right of way in the streets and reserved boxes at the arena and theaters. Every Roman had the right to freely enter Vesta's temple, just like every person had a right to request an audience with the mother, the Amaryllis seat.
Or just enter the tower and get tested.
Although men were strictly barred from her house at night, being the priestess.
What the fuck? All right.
Don't you go to the house at night.
Don't you do it.
This is one of the bits that I think is really cool too, is Roman culture and the Roman civilization was very patriarchal. It was very much completely male-led. So her existence as the head deity, as the most important, is a bit paradoxical for their culture. You know, you have a tendency in patriarchal societies where the head god is going to be someone like Zeus. It's going to be Odin. It's going
fucking everything.
Yeah. But in Roman culture, it was Vesta. So I thought that was pretty cool. She was the most chaste of the gods, but was addressed as mother and had honorary fertility.
Honorary fertility.
Her priestess,
is that like an honorary degree from a university?
Just everyone is your child. The priestesses were dressed as if they were married women, though instead of being dressed as unmarried women, yet they wore the headdress of a Roman bride. Vestal, which would be like the priestesses and stuff, was a consecrated virgin married to the state who ensured fertility. She's a woman with the legal status of a man. The Vestal was considered capable of mediating between the human and the divine, precisely because she was poised in transition between all permissible social roles. She was simultaneously maiden, wife, and man, sterile and fertile, virgin and phallic.
Shit.
That is a quote from Jean L. Schroeder, The Vestal and the Fosses, something like that.
That's cool. Okay.
So that leads a lot of credence to the Aes Sedai having more freedom than most people to just kind of wander between borders and do what they want and not have to bully their way in necessarily like the White Cloaks do.
Right?
Nice.
So.
Fuck the White Cloaks. Except for the two that we've had on. They're actually really cool people. But all the rest of them, fuck them.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is
pretty
cool.
Cool.
I like that. Nice.
I want to hit real quick. We just had dropped in the live chat by Gay. And there was a Reddit thread in the, so if you guys are on Reddit,
Prince Adeline's boyfriend.
r/WOT. Husband. Gay?
Gay?
And he says that this is a user, Herald of Morning. And he says, it's interesting because he is a, let's see, he is a Saudi. He grew up in Saudi and he's
a Saudi
Muslim.
Yeah.
And he is super happy to see nods to
Hindi
Arabic culture.
Yeah.
And Hindi culture. And one of the two that he lists several of them, but there are two here that I actually really liked. One is the beginning of the name, the last name's Althor.
Yes.
Or
Al-Mandragoran.
And the thing was, and when you go to the Borderlands, they say, oh, well, that's
an honorific for a lord.
That's an honorific for a lord. So you must be a young noble.
Yeah.
And in the Arabic culture, when you have Al in the front of someone's name, that's usually like a son of or family or friend or something.
Family,
like that.
Friend or son, yeah.
Yeah.
So similar.
Which I only
to
know
Scottish.
Because I'm reading the same thing you are.
Yeah. similar to Scottish, where you know Mick or Mac in Gaelic is usually son of or child of or something like that.
Like McIlwain.
Ha. So no, I think that's pretty cool that you know something. So I am not well versed in Arabic traditions.
Sure.
So these are a lot of things that kind of went over my head. So doing this episode, I'm actually really happy with because I'm learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like the other reference.
Cool.
One of the other references too.
And the next one I was going to go to is when they say peace favor your sword or peace be with your sword or something like that. And there's the traditional Arabic, you know, greeting of shalom, which is peace. And so I love the different references. And it just gives me a whole new depth of respect for Robert Jordan with how supremely educated this man was. Like, good Lord, he is an intellectual giant, the likes of which none of us have seen.
so in this age.
As Snakes and Foxes pointed out, it's assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Isn't it the full
salam
phrase?
Salam alaikum.
Yeah. Is Arabic. Shalom is Hebrew.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. But right idea, and as often do, mispronounced.
Sure.
I just said I don't know, okay?
Yes, he did.
I like the parallel that the same person pointed out. The devil figure in the Islamic theology is also named Shaitan, and the word also means corrupter.
Yep.
And it's interesting to this individual, and and me as well. I'm not saying, you know, they're weird or wrong. They're definitely not. Yeah. But how the Wheel of Time Shaitan corrupted Sidene. So
yep.
That's pretty cool.
Which,
well, and tries to corrupt everyone he touches. It's one of those things where it's, again, the deceiver, the corrupter, whatever. And so you have that physical manifestation of something that he corrupted, the physical Sidene. Anyone who touches it has the taint. They feel that corruption every time they touch it. But you also have, you know, from the very beginning, I'm not saying he's always completely wrong. I mean, there are times that, you know, Moraine and the other Aes Sedai are trying to be manipulative and things like that. So it's not always that Shaitan, that Baal Zemon, that, you know, the Dark One, that Ishamael are necessarily lying. But the truth that you hear is not always the truth.
Exactly.
So when he says, don't trust any Aes Sedai, they'll try to manipulate you. They're not lying necessarily. They're telling the truth, but them telling you that information is also a manipulation. Them giving you that thing is prepping you for failure in some ways. And so again, it is that deceiver, that corrupter, that whatever, that every statement they say is designed to falsify, is designed to get your hackles up, to get your suspicion up, to get all of this different stuff so that you can't actually have a clear head when the moment comes time.
Yeah.
And real quick, just for anybody listening along, if you know something about what we're talking about, or if you're familiar with this particular mythology or tradition, please throw it down in the comments. Let us know. We love digging into this stuff. If we're getting it wrong, correct us. If please we do, don't touch on something that is super that interesting to you,
hugely important,
and we need to know, because we need to know, and drop it in a comment and let us know. We'll chew on it for weeks, I promise. Oh, it'll absolutely be great.
So for another culture, unless you had more to say.
I'm good.
I was about to drop it into another culture, but go ahead first.
Oh, I mean, I just went, so let's do yours.
Hit it.
All right, so I actually was going to bring up Egyptian culture, because I actually think that's one of the pantheons that is one of the most overlooked, but also one of the coolest. And again, I'm not saying that, like, anybody who overlooks it, like, fuck you, this is one of the coolest, like, eat a dick or anything like that. I just think Egyptian pantheon is really cool. And so... Right. The snakes and the foxes. I actually really love the isle fin and the eel fin.
We got snakes and foxes in our live chat that now they're paying attention. Yep, you got their attention.
I love the idea. Again, I think that's a direct Egyptian mythology parallel in terms of the snakes as the god Apep. And then the foxes as the god Anubis. They are the lords of death and mischief. And there's absolutely so much there of dealings, of weighings, of justice, of again, like this kind of almost like you pay a price, you don't know what it is, the like weighing your heart against the feather, you know, weighing your questions against your character, the gifts you need to bring, all of that is so in line with the Egyptian tradition there. And I fucking love it.
And Anubis is the one who physically does the weighing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you're going into the elfin and the eelfin into their realm, They're like, they're being like, yes, let us weigh the price.
Questions versus yep. Yes, let us determine the price, mortal. We'll give you what you want, but only if you give us what we want.
Exactly. That kind of thing.
And again, there is such a direct, because when Matt goes in to see the eel fit, what is the price for what he wants? It's death. They literally try to kill him as
they succeed.
They succeed for a moment. Yes, indeed. And they literally kill him for what he wants. And so I fucking love that. The Eelfin and the Elfin are actually one of my favorite parts of the story in general. And just the fact that they're also just so in line with you know, the gods of snakes and the gods of dogs or foxes, or, you know, that whole thing. The Elfin, the snake people are like, yes, please go to Ruidian, Matt, and otherwise you will die. And then he goes and he meets the fox people, and they're like, oh, okay, cool, you're in Ruidian, let's kill you.
So, staying in line with Egyptian culture, specifically ancient Egypt, are you familiar with the goddess Nekhbet?
Yes.
So you probably already know the parallels there. Josh, yep. Are you familiar with the Egyptian goddess Nekhbet?
I am not.
Okay, so Daniel, you're not allowed to guess. Okay. But I'm going to start reading descriptions of Nekhbet, and it's probably early on you're going to guess who has parallels to Nekhbet. Well, let's see. So Nekhbet was a city goddess in ancient Egypt who evolved in importance to become the protectress and mother of the pharaoh. She was usually depicted as a white vulture hovering over the pharaoh with wings outspread and clutching a shin symbol, a loop of rope knotted to form a circle representing infinity or eternity. Ancient Egyptians believed that the white vultures are all female and reproduced asexually because the species lacks sexual dimorphism, meaning males and females appear identical. Nekhbet's shrine was the oldest oracle in Egypt, where people went to have their fortunes told. Her priestesses were called Mu, or mothers, and thus Nekhbet was titled Mother of Mothers. Have you figured it out yet? There's a little bit more I can read, but it'll give it away.
There are technically two options at this point that I feel like work, but there is one that is ostensibly correct.
So what are your guesses? Ahead. What are your guesses?
Well, so far my guess is... I was actually about to say the Amaryllin Sea, because they all refer to her as mother.
Very close.
So as I said, there are two options. One of them is the Amaryllin seat, but a specific Amaryllin.
One of them, the Amaryllin. One of them, correct.
I would say not Elida and not Egwene. Therefore, the only other Amaryllin left would be
Swan.
Yes. The other option that is actually the one that they're really referring to is Andrew.
I'm not sure.
You want to read the rest of it?
I'm not sure if we're talking about the same one, because you've already X-nayed the one that I'm seeing it and reading it as a reference to.
Oh, okay.
It is also an Amaryllin.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Though
you see it
I think it can be more so geared towards the position than the individual.
That's kind of where
I actually see it as either Swan, but when you add the sort of part that you were about to mention, I actually see it more as Moraine than Egwene.
So there's a key element that's being used here to relate it to Egwene.
Sure.
And that is Egwene having a derivative of the gift of foretelling the future from dreams.
Sure.
And Nekhbet's temple being the oldest is a hark to Tarvalon, the white vulture, a hark onto the white walls and the tower itself of the White Tower. But that was also where people went to get their fortunes told. Yes. So by some caveat, there's an aspect of Necbet that is within fortune telling, which can also be used to kind of justify a little bit of Elida, but the connotation seems to be it's more of a kind of controlled sort of seeing the future, which Egwene has through dreaming, being a dreamer.
Well, interesting. I actually saw that as more of a parallel to Moraine. Because if you look at it in some ways, and the way that I was looking at it when I originally, you know, looked into this and did all the different things was, if you are looking for a pharaoh in the Wheel of Time, who is it? It's Rand.
Yeah.
Therefore, who is the one person who is among the Aes Sedai basically from the beginning? And again, you could absolutely make the argument for Egwene still, and I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not. I very much saw it as who is the person who does the most protecting of Rand for the entire series. Man. And to me, but is also an Aes Sedai, you fuckface. I definitely see that as Moraine. Also, if you go back to the original, it wasn't her foretelling, certainly, but it was a foretelling that set her on the path to go find and protect the Pharaoh. So I very much saw that as a Moraine situation, though again, I also think that it works well for Swan based on A, her position, and B, who was the other person in the room for that foretelling? Swan goddamn Swanche.
That's true.
Swan Sanche. I actually find that one, to me, and again, this is only to me, this is not objectively correct or anything like that, there is no ostensible whatever, this is just to me, I definitely see that as a combination in some ways of Moraine and Swan as this sort of single entity split into two. Of just who does the most protecting of the Pharaoh, and who does sort of the brunt of the work to actually get from the white walls of Tarvalon to being able to actually wrap their wings around the Pharaoh himself.
Hey. So I kind of like this idea.
This is the funniest, this is one of the fun parts about this discussion of, who is this character about? We all disagree?
Who's great, that's the that whole fucking Pokemon? Point. Like, it's Pikachu! It's Clefairy!
I kind of like this idea of describing at least possible influences. Because there's also a good chance that Robert Jordan never spent much time thinking about Necbet.
Right?
Yeah. And it's because, I mean, you're going to have overlaps in cultures. It's got to happen. Like, it's impossible for it not. So with that, how do we feel about some ancient Indo-Iranian?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Let's jump right in.
So in the ancient Indo-Iranian tradition, there was a god of the morning light or dawn, of the morning light or dawn, called Mithra. in spite of his connection with the sun,
as it were,
maybe. Could you in spite say? Of his connection with the sun, Mithra functioned so preeminently in the ethical sphere. The word Mithra was a common noun that meant covenant, contract, or treaty, and as such, Mithra was the god Covenant, the celestial deity who oversaw all solemn agreements that people made among themselves, and who severely punished anyone who broke the terms of a covenant, whether it was between individuals or between countries or other socio-political entities. From Encyclopedia.
Wait a Britannica. Second.
As the guarantor of human contracts, Mithra was the mediator between the good god Ahura Mazda and humanity. Can you guess who, at least what I'm reading and kind of what I like, is hinting that this might be an influence of, or an influence to?
Honestly, Andrew, I'm going to be kind, but also honest. No, I can almost guarantee that I have no idea who you think this is, because I'm regularly wrong.
So don't focus so much on the covenant and treaty aspect of Mithra. Sure. Focus more on Mithra being the ancient Indo-Iranian god of the morning light or dawn. And it is a specific person.
The very obvious answer is the Lord of the Morning, therefore Rind.
No. Close. But you were right until the last part.
Loose there.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yes. So Loose there has been likened to the sun.
And, the same person as Rand, but
the only person
two ages before.
Or the first person we see that is actually regularly referenced to and named as Lord of the Morning. Because Ishmael and Agnor both refer to Luz Theron as Lord of the Morning. Luz Theron was also the creator's champion and the first among servants. With their covenant, the Dashain Aiel pledged their lives to serving the servants, the Aes Sedai, right, and following the way of the leaf. Covenant defined in the Dashain Aiel, or defined the Dashain Aiel. As head of the Aes Sedai, Luz Theron oversaw the covenant. So closely were the Dashain Aiel identified with the leader of the Aes Sedai. By the end of the War Shadow, they were believed by many to have served only Luz Theron.
Yep.
So excellent. I thought that was pretty cool.
It is. I actually really like that. Let's pop over to, I actually really kind of am interested in your thoughts on this. I will also input mine. I'm not just going to like hang you out to dry or anything like that, but I would like to hear. We got a thing in chat, and I think it's actually one of the most interesting parallels because there are so many options for it. But let's go biblical for a moment. And not the devil, because obviously that's more obvious as to who that's sort of supposed to be in the story and things like that. But the early version of the devil, the angel that was fallen, the angel Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the Wheel of Time, I think there are actually a number of different options for sort of a parallel to Lucifer. And I have landed on one, but I would actually like to hear your sort of thoughts on who you think the sort of strongest parallel to the biblical Lucifer is in the Wheel of Time.
I will jump into it and I will go straight up Luz Theron. Luz Theron is a fallen angel. If there is a fallen angel in this story, it's him. It was his own arrogance that not only doomed himself, but doomed a number of the population along with him to suffer eternally. Like it's there. And he was known as the dragon. And if I'm going to cut just a little bit deeper, in the book of Revelations, it talks about the dragon returning to destroy the world. There's also the book of the seals in the book of Revelations. Like,
oh yeah,
lots of biblical cuts as well. Like,
yeah, it's from South Carolina. There. The Bible's going to be in there. I mean,
oh right? Yeah.
Was from South Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what?
So Lucifer also has the meaning of light bearer.
Yes,
which is translated for the Romans into Venus, meaning morning star. Thus, why the planet Venus is named Venus.
Indeed.
Because I'm your fire.
Morning star. And say, what is it you Venus, truly desire?
I'm your fun fact. I used to actually think very much of Luz Theron, but I actually at this point have changed my answer. Because I actually think that Ishmael actually fits more for me than it does Luz Theron. Again, Luz Theron is not a bad answer. Please do not feel like I'm calling you out.
No, I think I know where this is coming from.
Along those lines. But actually, after watching the show Lucifer, part of me actually feels more like Ishmael is a, to me, and only, you know, only in my feelings and whatnot, because he was a good man who was tempted and overshadowed by Luz Theron. And so what does he do? In his pride, he falls from grace, joins the Dark One, and is sort of, again, what does he do during the entire series? He keeps on offering the boys deals. It's true. He keeps on saying, what is it you really want? What is it you truly desire?
What is it you truly
desire? I mean, therein is the key difference. I think I'm right? in the camp with Ishmael now, because Ishmael and Lucifer have the kinship of, it was a choice they made. The choices yeah. they made directly led it's to true. It, whereas Luz Theron's yes, fall from point. Grace is an effect of something beyond his control.
Well, and of course, in the story of Wheel of Time, obviously, again, the Dark One is not God. That's not a parallel that is actually right. supposed to no. be being made. But in the story of Lucifer, Lucifer leads a rebellion against God because mm-hmm. he thinks that God is doing the wrong thing. Therefore, God banishes him from heaven to rule over the earth, or to rule over hell right. and corrupt those living in earth. In the story of the Wheel of Time, what happens? Ishmael decides that he wants to go against Luz Theron. So the Dark One gives him dominion over the plans for the Shadow to corrupt the humans. But in the end, Ishmael doesn't want that anymore. He realizes his mistake and goes, fuck, I fucked up. I don't know.
Well, and then
I'm not actually evil necessarily. I'm just misunderstood in some
I'm not
ways.
Bad. I'm just drawn that way.
But again, who won't let him out of his sentence? Another entity that has more power over
Do you know,
him.
He even one. Makes a deal with the Dark One and says, fine, I'll do what you want me to do. Just promise me that I'm burned out of the pattern forever.
Right?
I do not want to come back.
See?
If we accomplish
this. And as the common trope, there's an unseen catch that never allows you to actually have what you want.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh!
And so I actually see Ishmael as sort of the Lucifer of the story. But of course, again, the difference and the nice like change of it is God, the creator, doesn't do that to Ishmael. It's actually wow. the big, bad, even eviler, the corrupter, the deceiver, the whatever, that actually does
the
it
father
to Lucifer.
Of lies.
The father of lies.
I love in book one how the boys right? are like, I denounce you. I and denounce like, you. Adorable. That's enough, right? Get away from me. And they're like, he's like, you're too pathetic to kill right now. I can't.
Would be pathetic.
So I got another one for us.
Earlier, no, I love it. Sorry. Real quick, Snakes and Foxes. I fucking love this. It's Ishmael. I just want to die. Also, Ishmael comes back at the end of the Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
I forgot who it was in reference to, but I started to bring up Shiva earlier.
Yes.
And decided to go with a different connection, but we're back to a Hindu connection now mm-hmm. with Lakshmi.
Yep.
Lakshmi, and we're going to do this again, see if you can figure out who at least good answers. Right. Sure. Maybe not exactly
good answers only.
So Lakshmi is the Hindu goddess of wealth, prosperity, and generosity. She is called the goddess of fortune and protects her devotees from all kinds of misery and money-related sorrows. She is the daughter of the king of the Milky Ocean, empress of the sea, and the wife of Vishnu the Preserver.
Barreling.
No.
Tuon.
Yep. No, that was my actual answer.
Oh, yeah. Now he says,
oh, fuck you.
There's parallels to be made with Matt and Vishnu. Yes. So
I like it.
It fits. And it's amusing.
I do, though, also kind of find that as Fael. Mm. As much as I don't like her, I think Fael would not be a bad answer for Shiva or for Lakshmi. Even though I do think it fits two on more.
Mm. Well, one of the things that sticks out is Lakshmi is her expression is always calm and loving. And Tuan is Tuan slash Fortune
always
is calm. Always
always calm.
Always.
Sometimes to a goddamn fault.
Yeah. And Lakshmi is strongly associated with the lotus flower, symbolizing purity and spiritual power.
Spiritual power.
Who do many, if not all, the Shan Chan look to for interpretations of the omens and the final say on what the omens mean? Yes, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel. I'm Lakshmi.
Doomseer, I named.
Duneseer? Yes. I haven't seen Dune yet.
I am a Dune.
I will be a Dune seer, yeah.
And I will be a Dune seer.
I have also seen Dune. That's true. I have seen Dune, not Dune. The new one, but yeah. Cool.
I'm so excited. No, I think it's going to be so.
There's a ton of potential links.
We could go
for the Forsaken.
We could go for another.
I've got an abbreviated list, and I won't.
We could do an Elaine status episode or a set of episodes about fucking mythology.
Anybody who listens to our show is going to be like, "Why do these guys like Elaine so much?"
So, if you're looking for some potential Forsaken influences, what we're going to do is I'm going to let Daniel and Josh name a Forsaken. And then I have a list here. It doesn't tell me what tradition they're from, but it gives you a name to go and look at if you're looking at some references, potential influences for the Forsaken. So,
all right, Josh, your favorite Forsaken, go.
Asmodian. I love him. I love
Fuck
him.
You.
He's
Fuck
a
you.
Slimy,
I let you go
greasy
first.
Little weasel. And he's just like, dude, I just want to shred, man. I don't fucking leave me alone. I just
and these
shred.
These may not all
stallions.
These may not all be like necessarily religious mythical figures. Like a lot of these happen. These could be from all kinds of mythos.
Right.
So, if you enjoyed Asmodian, you might also want to check out Apollo, Asmodeus, Centaurs, Jason, Muses, and Nissos. Nissos. Daniel.
I love it. Let's do my second favorite, which is Mogedion.
Mogedion. You enjoy Mogedion.
As a character, not as a person. Fuck Mogedion right up the butthole. But she's a good character. I actually like her.
Yeah. So if you enjoyed Mogedion, consider checking out these popular favorites. Anasi, A-N-A-N-S-I, Anasi.
Anasi. Is it Anansi or Anasi?
No, it's Anasi.
Okay. Anasi, yeah. Arachne, A-R-A-C-H-N-E.
Shelob. that's a religious figure.
Oh.
it's my religion. Tolkienian.
That's right.
Moriah, M-O-I-R-A-I, which I probably said wrong. And nope, Morgan from Arthurian Legend, M-O-R-R-I-G-A-N. Right? So Morgan, those are some others. The 13th Depository has a pretty extensive list where they talk about different potential influences, some amazing articles to go and check out there.
Andrew, give me your second, or your first, second, or third Forsaken.
First, second, or third Forsaken.
Whichever one we have, whichever one of those that's first that we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
Moradin.
Ooh. Also, if you liked Moradin or Ishamael, you might also like Andrew, jump in here.
Oh, you might like Azrael, Collar, Iblis, Myrdin, M-Y-R-D-D-I-N, / Marilyn, or Thanatos.
Thanatos. Holy shit. Thanatos. That's good one.
Thanatos.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. You can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at The Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
I like that.
Again, if you're looking for list and other influences, again, check out the 13th Depository. They do have a really cool section, some essays that are written that go well more in depth about a lot of these potential links and parallels to just different random historical figures. So they're not all necessarily religious, but a lot of them are, because in a lot of cultures, it's the religious figures that get some of the most attention and get the most writings and stuff. So, yeah. But I guess the overall impetus and purpose of this episode was to point out that the influences for the different cultures and characters within the Wheel of Time are honestly as vast as we want to allow them to be.
Right.
There's no necessary, there may be statements out there where Robert Jordan has, you know, said, yes, I pulled some of this for this character. He might have really pulled from Arthurian legend for Rand, but the character of Rand has parallels to a bunch of other characters. So if nothing else, finding those parallels and exploring those and talking about those are good ways to help introduce yourself to maybe other cultures that you haven't considered, thought about, or aspects of cultures, and sometimes even your own culture or ancestral background that you're not aware of. I learned a lot from Norse mythology, though I don't necessarily know if I have Norse heritage, but I'm trying.
I was going to say, look at that beard. There's no way that you don't have.
Definitely have Irish ancestry.
Get the fuck out of here.
So if that's close enough, then for sure.
Definitely.
Because the red comes from Grandpa.
One of the things that I want to throw out there is, I won't say who or anything like that because it doesn't actually matter, but the other day someone posted in our Discord something that was in the, you know, encyclopedia of questions or things like that. And they made a statement, and my immediate reaction to reading it was, oh boy, I think you're reading a little bit more into this passage or this series or whatever than is actually there.
It's not possible.
That's my immediate reaction. And then I thought about it. And I was like, even if that's true, which I don't think it is, but even if that's true, that's not true. Because while I didn't get certain things out of this story, other people did. And no one is wrong. I mean, there are definitely things that are harder to defend than others, sure, obviously. But no one is wrong for what they pulled out of the story. And just because Robert Jordan hasn't said in an interview or Brandon Sanderson hasn't said it in an interview, yes, this is correct, doesn't mean that you didn't pull it out of the story.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I want to give, you know, again, I not that I have the power to do this or I'm like trying to, you know, be God or anything like that. Please, whatever it is that you pull out of this series, that's true.
Yes.
It may not be, again, exactly what Robert Jordan put into it or Brandon Sanderson put into it that they intended for you to pull out. But that's the magic of storytelling. That is the magic of books, is that what you get out of this series is what was intended.
Yes.
In so many ways. Now, again, we can have 87,000 different podcasts that are all about what each individual pulled out, and we're going to disagree about what's in the story and what's there and what we pulled out and what our individual views are. But I just love, one of the reasons that I love this story so much and books in general and storytelling is the idea that what you get out of it is what's there.
It's so, such a big world.
So it doesn't matter if we missed one of the ones that you pulled out, please comment, you know, on our Discord or in the section below or anything like that. Let us know what you thought, what you pulled out. And if we missed it or if we didn't go into it enough or whatever, we can do another episode on this and talk about more. There is more to talk about.
And there's only one opinion you could have that's wrong, and that's the opinion that men is a lamp. Other than that,
or there is one other opinion that's wrong, that is objectively incorrect, and that is that Gawain is good. Other than that,
I'll take that.
Men is a lamp and Gawain is a good character are both wrong.
John, but other than that, entered the chat.
But other than those two, anything that you think, please comment, please talk to us. We would love to hear from you. A really good place to do that is in the comment section below for the YouTubers who are watching it there, or also on blacktarpod.com. We have a forum section where we'd love to hear from you guys. That it is a great place to go ahead and pop in. Tell us how you thought about a particular episode, a particular topic, the podcast in general. And I know that there are a lot of other places to comment as well on the different places where you can find the podcast, whether it be, you know, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, all of the different things. So pop on over to blacktowerpod.com. It's also the best place to go ahead and find all of our stuff, whether that be our links to different sites, our merchandise, our sponsor, the lovely, amazing Crystal Barista, who is the better half of one of our hosts. I'll let you pick which one. definitely go over there and check different stuff out. And interested
in our better half.
In Communist Black Tower, better half marries you.
Yes. And if you are interested in any merchandise, either that's Black Tower related or that is rock related, definitely go check out New Creations by Jen. She has a bunch of our wonderful designs, including the only place that you can get the Frosty Mugs, Spreadshirt, which has a number of designs of ours that we'd love for you to go check out. And as I said already, the Crystal Barista, who has all different kinds of rocks and minerals and wonderful things that you can find, including a subscription box, which keeps Josh busy at the beginning of every month. And it's fantastic. She makes really great choices for what to put in those subscription boxes.
It's actually getting to the point where we're busy pretty much all month long.
Oh, so shit. Okay.
Keeps Josh, we're doing busy good.
All month long.
Keep it up.
And if you do go over there, we would love if you told her that the Black Tower sent you. If not, we also totally understand. Definitely go over and check out those subscription boxes.
Sorry to cut in again, but we got to take a second and thank our channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and check out all of the amazing rocks and minerals and the tools for rock hounding if you want to do it on your own that you can find there. If you want to do subscription boxes, Crystal Barista also offers monthly subscription boxes that are delivered directly to your door and hand-packed by Crystal Barista with the assistance of our own Sorvon Mihail, Josh. Also, make sure you check out Crystal Barista's Facebook page at facebook.com/rockpick. That's pick as in pickaxe with a K at the end for all of the amazing deals that the Crystal Barista does do from time to time. It's also the same place where if you're in the local area, you can see posts and updates about coming events. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and then check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockpick. And when you're done getting everything you could possibly desire from crystalbarista.com, make sure that you let the Crystal Barista know the Black Tower podcast sent you. Now, back into the episode.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And if you're not already, go ahead and consider becoming a patron of ours. That link as well is on our website, which you will have seen the plug for very early on in the episode. And we're telling you again, blacktowerpod.com. If you're one of those at JordanCon that got a wristband, just look down and there it is, you know, just tap it in. There's links for, again, all of our stuff there. You can support us for as little as or as low as $1 a month. It's definitely not a little contribution. We incredibly appreciate
it. It's a huge contribution.
It's an amazing contribution.
But that gets you access to live recordings, like the patrons that are listening now as we're talking have received. That also lets you record a spoiler warning for us to use in one of our episodes.
Or three.
We really don't mind. And you can also, if you do one and it doesn't come out the way you want, or you want to change it later on, because maybe in the future I actually do read New Spring, you can also redo it to find something else to poke playful Andrew fun at us about. Yeah. And there's other tiers that give you other benefits, like our coins that everybody loved at JordanCon and that kind of stuff. So go in, at least check it
out.
I
just sent three more of those out today. One sword or two sword coins and a dragon coin. So thank you very much to those of you who are part of the Patreon at that particular tier, because you're giving me work to do and I fucking love it.
And I sent out three stickers. So for those of you that have already received stickers from last month for July, these are the same stickers that these three patrons are getting. The next round will be a different sticker that we will use a random picker wheel on the internet to choose. I'll put in the names of the ones we haven't sent out, and we'll let that decide which sticker we choose out for the next round. Patrons. Speaking of sending out stuff, we are currently one Patreon away from our 30 Patreon goal.
From our next
once goal. Once we hit that goal, we will standardize the months that everything is sent out. So no more us having to independently track if you've been a Patreon for 2, 3, 6, whatever months. It is if you are a Patreon at whatever tier and you're entitled, part of your support is you get a sticker. Then it will be this month. Everybody that is a patron that can get that sticker will get it that month consistently.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, guys. Tell your friends.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool.
Also, I think we mentioned it before, but I do want to re-mention it again. As of the recording of this, we are 21 followers away on Twitter from hitting 3,000. So that is
also true.
Insanely exciting. Thank you to everyone who has followed us on Twitter. You guys are awesome. It's fantastic. And we will definitely plan something for when we hit 3,000. We'd love to get there. You know, by the end of this month would be awesome. By the Gathering Madness would also still be awesome. Yeah. But we'll definitely set something up
for
that.
If it's close enough to the Gathering Madness, we'll do something to celebrate it during the Gathering Madness as we're celebrating. This year's Gathering Madness will be the third anniversary of the Black Tower podcast. So this is built as a way for us and our fans and our listeners and just other fantastic people to get together. I did do math right. 18, 19.
Yeah.
It'll be starting the fourth year. Wait.
Yeah, it'll be 2018,
2019, 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
2021 Gathering Madness.
It'll start the fourth year.
It'll also
Yeah. And it'll also start season 3 of the Black Tower podcast. We do it on
that's what's
basis.
Getting thrown off.
Yeah. Well, that's because like we didn't decide to change seasons the first time around. So.
Yeah. We're on season 3. It'll be year 4.
Yeah.
So if you haven't already seen information about that, keep your eyes peeled. The mixology submission form will be coming out very soon. The letting Twitter decide or provide the suggestions rather for the hot sauces for the Taste to Take challenge, which then will in turn, we will take however many suggestions we have and we will turn those options over to our patrons to vote on 4 of them to include. So we have a rounded out 5 because we have one that we got when we did the stickers that has to be included. So patrons, that's another perk from being a patron. You'll get to choose which of the hot sauces we do. Please be somewhat kind. Jesus Christ, we're doomed.
And also, kind. Again, do remember that is not tier locked at all. You can go. You are more than welcome to vote on the hot sauces that we use and the order in which we do them. If you are a $1 a month person, that is not locked behind any other tier. Just come join us for the lowest amount and you will still get access to that. Obviously, if you want other perks, please find the tier that's right for you. But the hot sauce thing will actually be at any Patreon of any level. We'll be able to vote and contribute to that.
Yep. So, and for those of you with respect to the mixology contest, if you were with us for the last Gathering Madness, there, especially for patrons, there was supposed to be a book of recipes that went out. We never quite got around to being able to make that happen with everything else going out. So what we're doing, we still have all the recipes from last year. We're going to take all those recipes. We're going to include them in the book that we promise we're going to do this year. And if you are already a Patreon, you will receive that book as long as we have your address. It is not tier locked. We will send you a book of recipes from Gathering Madness 2020 and 2021. I forgot what year it was for a second. So
what year
that'll be
it?
Happening.
What year is it?
And there are, as of last year, there will also be prizes for the categorical winners of the mixology contest. And more will come out about that as we get closer to the event.
Indeed.
But keep your eyes peeled on our Twitter. If you're not on our Discord, go to our website, join the Discord, and you'll see stuff pop up there as well. And we will keep everybody informed as we make finalized or mostly finalized decisions as much as we can as we grow closer to October. Again, that event is going to be, because I don't think I said it at the beginning of this, when it actually is.
Yep.
The event, of course,
October
is going to be
15th and 16th.
Yeah, October 15th and 16th. Starting at 5 p.m. Eastern time on the 15th, ending at 11-ish p.m. That's kind of when like the official events will end, at 11 p.m. Eastern time on the 16th. And the event, for those of you that want to go and look at being here physically, will be in Havelock, North Carolina. So
yes.
And so, yes, maybe by 2050, we'll send out 30 years worth of Francis. But imagine how cool that book would be. Like,
that would be a dope ass book.
Here's 30 years. So
that would be like the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook. Like,
yeah, that's what we'll do.
So maybe we'll just
from the Gathering Madness,
and we'll just have actually in 2050, we will send out the last 30 years.
There you go.
We will have also sent out many years prior. And you can just keep a little binder in your kitchen of just the fucking Black Tower drinks.
So yeah, if you want that book, if nothing else, make sure you're a patron by October 1st. If you are a patron for the month of October, that will get you the book for free. Otherwise, we will be offering it to people. And
for the price
it'll
of
come
printing,
in, basically. Yeah, for the price of printing and shipping, it'll pretty much be what it is. Relatively shipping.
So
it'll be like a flat thing, like, well, you know, charging this for shipping. And if you live in Australia or somewhere where it costs a fuck ton of money to send shit to you, but it's perfectly fine.
We'll complain about it, but we'll still
do it.
Yeah. We'll complain about it lovingly.
Fucking cunt.
From blacktowerpod.com every day, and from the Gathering Madness every October, and from Jordan Con whenever the fuck it is.
Every year.
We will be here
every year.
Every year.
Except for last year.
having a fantastic time. And that's online, only though. Possible.
Still there. It was just online.
Because you guys are also still here with us. So from all of us at the Black Tower, to all of you guys, we thank you so much for tuning in. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've left this recording just a little bit more insane than you just were.
A little tindier.
Before you started. Thank you so much from all of us. I have been your Sorvan Mihail, Josh.
I have been Andrew, your Bajan Mihail.
And I have been your Amenkan Mihail, Daniel. And again, from all of us here at the Black Tower, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you are having a wonderful morning this morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, good night.